Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord and praise the Lord. It's Deacon Thomas Farr, and you are listening to Issues Christian Men's Talk. We'd like to welcome you this evening. Today is June the 5th, 2017. And we thank you for joining us this evening. We pray that all is well with your family and in your home and in your Christian walk. Well, tonight we have a topic we're going to talk about here today. We want to encourage your brothers. We want to speak in some wisdom, some solutions to the struggle that men have in their sexual purity. We're going to talk about sexual purity, biblical abstinence, and celibacy, and some of the things that we can do that we can encourage one another, encourage men, encouraging single men, encouraging married men, and try to hopefully, as watching on the wall, bring to light some of the struggles and some of the ways that the enemy is trying to trick you and trying to discourage your Christian walk, trying to destroy your marriage, and just overall use sexual selves, I'll say it that way, and can distract us of the purposes of God and what God's plan for our life is. I'm going to start with scripture and prayer, and then we're going to go right into conversation. We have a guest tonight. We have Pastor Chuck Brooks is going to join the conversation, and we're going to share some of his wisdom and insights on the topic, and hopefully we can, again, you encourage someone. If you're listening online at www.blogtalkradio.com/Deacon Thomas Farr, you can also call in and share your insights, ask questions, and be part of the conversation by calling 646-668-2636. And you press 1 on your keypad, and we can we'll see you on the switchboard, and we can bring you in. And you can ask a question or share some of your insights on the topic tonight, which is sexual purity. Amen? Okay, we're going to start with scripture. I'm going to be reading tonight from Titus, chapter number 2. Titus chapter number 2, starting at verse number 11. And the word of God says, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that, denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope, the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a particular people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee." Father God, we say thank you today, God. We thank you, O God, for the salvation, O God. We thank you for redemption. We thank you for reconciliation. We thank you for the shed blood of your Son, Jesus Christ, today, O God, that makes it all possible. Father, we thank you for the grace in our lives today. We thank you for peace. We thank you for favor, God. Father, today, O God, I ask, O God, that you would touch those men that are listening tonight, those men that are listening online and called in, O God, that their hearts, O God, would be moved, that something would be said today that could save a marriage, save a man from making a wrong step, help a man, encourage him, edify him, to live a righteous and holy life before you. Continue to bless us. We thank you for the callers. We thank you for Pastor Chuck going to join us this evening in conversation. And also we ask you to bless his family and watch over them and set your protection around them. Strengthen us and keep us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. Amen. Well, tonight, I have a couple of announcements before we go into the conversation. So upcoming events. First, let me share this with the Howard County Coalition to End Interpartner Violence, the 2007 Dialogue Series, this Saturday, June the 10th, from 9 a.m. to 12 noon, The Role of Men in Preventing Relationship Violence. There's going to be discussion, what role do men have as fathers, husbands, as sons, uncles, pastors, leaders, teachers? What is our role in preventing it? And this is one of those issues that we all know in our families, in our communities, acts of domestic violence, you know, it's from fussing, arguing, cussing, to physical abuse. But what can we do as men to help prevent it? Not necessarily respond to it, but be preventive, be proactive in it. So that's what we're going to be discussing on Saturday, June the 10th, from 9 a.m. to 12 noon at the Baltimore-Washington Conference Center of the United Methodist Church Mission Center, at 11711 East Marketplace in Fulton, Maryland. You can go online and register. You can go out to our Issues Christian Men's Talk Facebook page. You'll see the link there and the flyer there, and you can register. This is a free event, and it will be providing lunch. And again, it's a free event, free registration event, because we want to come out and we want to educate the community and also give our resources, discussions. We're going to have some men share there, and we're going to talk about what is our role, what is our plan of action. You know, if someone in your family, and how we respond to domestic violence, from a stranger to our family to our associates, our co-workers, either victims or abusers, and how we should respond, because we want to be able to prevent this. And sometimes we have a circle of influence of people that we may know or may not know that they're going through. And what is our role? Amen? Because domestic violence is one of those things that plague the community across the socioeconomical, race, religious lines. It's something that's in our community, and there's a lot of reasons it happens. That's what we're going to be discussing on Saturday, June the 10th. You can also call 410-997-0304 to get more information. Also, go to the website for Hope Works at www.wearehopeworks, one word, and you'll see the link there where you can register. Again, it's a free registration, and lunch will be provided. Amen. Amen. Our second upcoming event for the month of June, as we know, is Father's Day month. Amen. So we're in celebration. We want to share this event with Kingdom Worship Center in Baltimore, Maryland. They're located at 6419 York Road in Baltimore, Maryland, 21212. And on the weekend of Father's Day, on Friday, they're going to have a men's barbershop talk Friday, June 16th. At 7 p.m. at the church there on York Road. Then on Saturday, the 17th, from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m., they're having a men's resource cookout gathering out at Chappaquiddick Park in Baltimore, Maryland. It was at 6000 Chappaquiddick Parkway. I believe I'm saying that right. But that's going to be Saturday, the 17th, from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Again, if you go to Issues Christian Men's Talk on our Facebook page, you'll see the link there, you'll see the flyer there. And get them your driving directions and addresses. And then on Sunday, June 18th, for those of you brothers out there who may not have a home church and want to continue on, and you know, you come out to the event network, they're going to be having a Sunday service on the 18th at 11 a.m. at the church at Kingdom Worship Center. And that's going to be hosted by Bishop Gregory Dennis. It's Bishop Gregory Dennis of Kingdom Worship Center, 6419 York Road in Baltimore, Maryland. You can reach out at the phone number of the church at 410-377-3500. So I encourage you to go out there and fellowship. And also for those out there listening, if you have men's events, if you have any men's events coming up in the future and the next coming weeks, as we are here every Tuesday, we're here every Monday at 8 p.m., every Thursday at 8:30 p.m., just hit us up on Facebook, let us know, and we gladly would advertise and give opportunities to spread the word, spread the news that men can come, because you never know where a man in his life may need to be around other godly men, just for encouragement, just for fellowship. Because as we know, there's a lot of men out here who just don't have friends. They just don't have fellowship. They don't have that connection. There's opportunities for us to reach out and also get out to the community. Because we post our new broadcast. A lot of people hear this. We got responses, folk are hearing it all over the country, all over Maryland. You never know. Somebody might be in town that week and need somewhere to go. Amen. Amen. And one more continuing word we're going to put out for a food pantry in Anne Arundel County in Pasadena, Maryland. Winning Souls Evangelist Church, the Helping Hands Food Pantry, is open every second and fourth Saturday of the month from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. Only requirement is bring an ID and, fill out some paperwork. And they have food pantry. They have fresh vegetables, fresh fruit, meat, and a variety of canned fruit and dry products that can help. Because we know in Maryland, and when they live in Maryland, all over the country, there's hungry folk out there for whatever reason. They might need food, might run out of food, whatever. But this is one pantry, and also they are connected with a network here in Maryland. So even if, and they can let you know of other food pantries in the area. And also in Baltimore, for those who are listening in Baltimore, you can also call the church, and they can help you get and find a pantry maybe in your neighborhood. Church phone number is 410-437-0135. 1-800-387-3737. It's the Winning Souls Evangelistic Church, Helping Hands Food Pantry. Amen? Amen. Well, tonight, we're going to go into a topic here that affects us all, no matter our age, once we reach a certain age or maturity and puberty and everything else as we grow. It's one of the struggles we have in the body of Christ, one of the struggles we have as men. Because if we look around in our culture today, when we talk about sexuality and what's permitted and what's not permitted, and then we're going to talk about what the Bible said. Because, again, unfortunately, some of us were born in the church, raised on the pews, raised at the foot of the pastor, and that's fine and good. But then some of us have lived lives, worldly lives in the culture, and we struggle with things as we come to the church. And then we learn. We learn what it means to be a man, what it means to have sexual integrity and be accountable. So what we're going to talk about tonight is some of those things that touch us, some of that. So hopefully we'll be able to encourage your brother and share the knowledge, share insight, and share some wisdom to help someone who may be struggling in that area. Amen. Pastor Chuck Brooks, good evening, sir. How are you?
Good evening. I'm fine. How are you doing?
Doing wonderful. Good to hear your voice, sir. Thank you for taking time out of your schedule to join us tonight.
It's good to be here. Been a while since I've been on with you. A lot of things have been going on in my life, but I appreciate the opportunity to share the Word of God with you.
Amen, sir. Thank you. I appreciate you. I do appreciate you. Well, listen, we're going to begin. We're going to jump right in here. We talk about sexual purity, sir. We know so many things are going on in the culture. So let's begin in the beginning. You know, what do you say about sexual purity, how important it is in our life, in the life of men, and all of us from married to single? What do you say, sir?
Well, I've found, I guess as they say, hindsight is 20/20, so you're having a perspective from one who is looking back over the years, and I have the kind of thinking now that, man, if I knew some of the things I know now, I would have made different decisions back as early as preteen, because some of the decisions that you make and some of the behaviors that you participate in or act out can have a bearing on your life 20, 30, and even 40 years later. And so when it comes to sexual purity, there are some decisions that you really need to make as a young man that are going to have a bearing on your life as a whole. They're going to have a bearing on your life as you get older. They're going to have a bearing on your life if you become a husband and a father. So when we talk about sexual purity, it's a very, very, very important subject we need to embark upon. Isn't that right?
Yes, sir. I mean, you're right. Hindsight is 20/20. But that's one of the things that we want to do here at Issues Christian Men's Talk, because we want to be able to speak in the young men's lives, or men who are still virgins, or still men, or still even say you're no longer a virgin, but you're early in this in your life. You're in your 20s, your early 20s, mid 20s, and you know, there's some things you can change right now. And unless you hear, unless you're being taught, unless you have understanding, because you come to faith in Christ, and then these are some of the issues that we want to talk about. Because again, God is a redeemer. God can forgive, and God can restore. So one of the things when we talk about sexual purity is honoring. How important is it, do you think it is, with the culture we're going through now, to be able to stand up? And what is God's real commandment about it? Because, you know, some folks say it's not mentioned in the Bible, but then others say, you know, you have to search it out. You know, so when we talk about sexual purity commanded by God, and why does he do that?
I totally agree. My brother, man, there are some things that we need to sow into the lives of young men and young women with respect to sexual purity, because they're being handed a bill of goods. They're being slipped as it were, a Mickey. They're, you know, someone's putting something in what they're drinking and what they're watching on TV, what they're reading concerning sexuality, and so they're grabbing all kinds of ideas from the television, from the internet, even from video games when it comes to sexuality these days. And when it comes to culture today, man, it has changed so much since I was a young man. There were some things that I wrestled with as a young man that young men today are wrestling with 10 times as much and deeper in terms of how these things can impact their thinking and their behavior. I mean, when I was a teenager, if we wanted to find some lewd material, we had to bribe somebody at the local 7-Eleven to buy us a magazine. But today, most young men, as early as 7 and 8 years old, they have smartphones that will open their eyes and their mind and their hearts to all the perversions that anyone would want to see in the world. And we didn't have to wrestle with that when we were younger, but now they do. And so culture has changed rapid pace with respect to what people think about when it comes to sex and sexuality. Even the way people dress today, years ago, you know, if a young girl walked down the street wearing a certain thing, it wasn't her parent that said something to her. It may have been a neighbor who threatened to tell her parent. And then, but now it's like the dress and all of that, it's so much acceptance. And men and young men and even boys need to deal with those kind of things when it comes to modesty in our women and even in other men. Things have changed with respect to marriage. People are quick to shack up, and fornication is abounding, and there's no one that looks down on fornication anymore and sees it as a sin. It's commonly accepted. There's rapid fire and quick divorce. I mean, so society has changed with respect to sexuality and sexual purity, and these are the things that we need to, I guess, get back to basics. And the only way we can get back to basics is to open up the Word of God with our young men and to teach them God's way. Back to you, Deacon Farr.
Amen. So, you know, I agree. And that's one of the things when we talk about accountability. We talk about character, integrity, and accountability. And I think in the body of Christ, especially in men's ministry, because here at Issue Scripture Men's Talk, we have our passion and our driving force and our foundation is about ministering to men where they are, you know, in the church, outside the church. The brother who just came in last week, again, like I said earlier, the brother may have been raised in the church his whole life, but these struggles are the things that we go through. And the Word of God is the answer. Well, you know, you talked about marriage being honorable. I think about Hebrews 13:4, where it speaks about the marriage bed and about what marriage is and how God sees it. And you're right, that the way the culture is today, it's all acceptable. You know, you remember there was a time, I can't think of the exact timeline, but there was a time when if you wanted to go to court and divorce, you had to show cause and reason. And I believe it was the early 80s, I'll say the early 80s, late 70s, when it came up with states started adopting no-fault divorce. You didn't have to have a reason, just that you wanted one, and that's all you had to say, and that was it. Now, some places and some jurisdictions in the states pulled back from that a little bit, that you had to have, you know, to have, what do you call it, reconciliation time and some other things. But still, at this point, because divorce is so easy and prevalent in this culture, and it's norm for to be able to break down marriages and not even fight for them, I think that's one of the things we lost, that we would fight for relationships and fight for marriage. And, you know, and I think some of that disdain comes from, you mentioned it earlier about, you know, shacking up and living together. And Well, let me say this. What do you think, sir, about when we talk about shacking out? Because I'm going to take one thing here at a time, because at the body of Christ, where do you see the place as the church, as leaders in the church, to hold people accountable when they find out about these situations in the local body of those who profess to be Christians? What do you think about that? I know you've been a pastor for a number of years. How do you think the leadership is not approaching it, or they talk around it, or should they directly engage it and just find out where folk are? What do you say, sir?
Well, I think that there are a lot of Christian leaders, among them pastors, who are afraid of what people think about them. And as a pastor, I felt that that tension of wanting to maintain a congregation and not wanting people to leave. But the Word of God cuts. It's a two-edged sword, and it cuts, and it will drive people away. It will draw people to Christ, but it will drive people who don't want to live righteously away. And if you're constantly preaching, thus saith the Lord, then your congregation may decrease in size. And I think some pastors, that they need to start doing that, and they'll find that their churches won't be as large as they are now. And so I think that there are pastors and other Christian leaders that are fearful of the faces and the opinions and the valuation of men and women against them personally and even their ministry. So they steer away from those things that are controversial when it comes to the world, because we know they're not controversial because they're scripture, because thus saith the Lord. But when you present those truths to people who are vacillating between opinions and who are being tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine, times you're going to get some bite back. And some pastors don't want to endure that kind of attacking and people lambasting their ministry because they're faithful to the Word of God. But I think that when it comes to fornication, when it comes to shacking up, that we don't give our opinions. We give thus saith the Lord. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 1, it says, "Finally then, brothers, we ask and urge you in the Lord Jesus that as you receive from us how you ought to walk and to please God, just as you are doing, that you do so more and more." And so he goes on and says, "This is the will of God, your sanctification, that you abstain from sexual immorality, and that each one of you know how to control his own body in holiness and honor, not in the passion of lust like the Gentiles who do not know God." And so we just need to open up the Word of God and let people know, this is not me. This is what God says. And even the scripture says that of itself. It says, "Therefore, whoever disregards this, disregards not man, but God, who gives his Holy Spirit to you." And so this is what God says. This is not my opinion. This is not your opinion, Deacon Farr. This is what the Word of God says. And as you shared earlier from Hebrews 13:4, that marriage is honorable and the marriage bed undefiled, but whoremongers, you know, adulterers, God will judge. And so we need to keep preaching the Word of God, and the Holy Spirit will bring conviction. You know, that's not our job. It's the Holy Spirit's job to bring conviction and to convince people of their sin. So we need to be faithful in teaching the Word of God. Back to you, Deacon Farr.
Amen, sir. You're absolutely correct. I believe that the Word is our guideline. It is our foundation. And again, if we're teaching people the Word and we're teaching them to understand and we're discipling them in their faith, some of these choices, they can't – I think what it is – it's hard for me to really say, but some people just are disobedient, and we have to understand that. But that shouldn't stop us from continuing to press the Word of God. Because again, it's the word that it, again, it's going to the word. Sometimes it's going to rebuke. It's going to provoke people to change. Because again, if we never teach them, they'll never know. And if it's never spoken upon, I mean, you can preach. If you know, I had a conversation with a pastor before that. You know, he talks about preaching. I said, well, if you just preach through scripture, you're going to hit these things. You're going to hit sin. Because again, Paul and Peter, they wrote the New Testament letters. They confronted all the things that we're going through in this culture. These things are not new. These devices of the enemy, their cultures are not new, and they wrote about them. So if we were to just stand on the Word of God and preach the Word of God, let me say this: if we were in a proactive mindset to teach through the Word of God, because I know some pastors do it, actual pastors I know locally, and also I know there's national pastors who just teach through the Word of God and let it hit it when it hit it. But you're teaching people the Word of God. They know what these verses are, because we all have those verses that we memorize, but none of them are. I don't remember anybody learning to memorize verses that were all correction. It was about blessings and all the good stuff in the Bible. I remember anybody remembering how to memorize Romans chapter 1. When he's talking about how the culture was and the things that were going on, that's not a memory verse. Last time I checked, I don't know if that's on the memory verse list, but you know it's there in the Word of God, and I agree with that. Amen. You're listening to Issues Christian Men's Talk. I'm Deacon Thomas Saul. We're here with Pastor Chuck Brooks, and tonight we're talking about sexual purity. And we're gonna move with that, because we know what the Word of God says about marriage and about purity and living our lives. We're going to come back because we're going to touch on a broad thing here. We're going to talk about biblical abstinence, because I'm going to talk about that, especially for young people, for singles, for those who are not, you know, not married, and for our teens, because again, like you said, this culture is so sexualized. Teens are being under pressure and they're being exposed to a lot of stuff before their time, before they're emotionally and mentally able to handle it and deal with these issues. So what do you think, sir, about biblical abstinence? Let's define biblical abstinence first, and then understand why God calls us to be sexually abstinent before marriage.
Well, one thing I failed to mention that is so very, very important. We can teach the Word of God and use Scripture to remind people that they should abstain from sexual immorality, and we can teach the word and let people know that marriage is honorable and all of that, but they're going to have a very, very difficult time obeying the Word of God, and they may not even have the desire to obey the Word of God if they don't have the Spirit of God indwelling them. In other words, if they have not been saved. And so we can't put the cart before the horse and call people to sanctification in Christ if they haven't been saved, if they haven't repented, if they haven't turned away from sin, and they haven't turned to the living Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And that's so important because, you know, the flesh profits nothing. We can't do anything in the flesh. It doesn't please God. And so we need to be saved. We need God to come and to save us from our sin, to take residence in our life through the power of the Holy Spirit. And he gives us that want to. He gives us that desire to please him. But that doesn't start until we get saved, until we become Christians, because Scripture says there's no one that does good. There's no one that does anything right. No, not one. And so we need to come to know the Lord Jesus Christ first. And once we know Christ, we'll have the indwelling power of the Holy Spirit to give us a new desire, a new want to, and a new power to be able to abstain from sexual immorality, to be able to have a marriage that honors the Lord. So I just wanted to throw that in there before we talk about biblical abstinence. But you asked for a definition. Biblical abstinence is abstaining from sexual immorality in any form, not just fornication, but there's some things that you could do with your body that is sexual immorality. And it's a biblical abstinence, because even unbelievers could abstain from certain things, but we as Christians, we abstain from sexual immorality from a biblical perspective. We know that it's not pleasing to God. We know that there's a certain framework that God calls us to, a certain lifestyle that God calls us to. And so we do it as the Bible is our marching orders, and it gives us the framework in which to behave. And so we abstain ourselves from sexual immorality, and then we cultivate in ourselves by God's word and the power of the Holy Spirit a life of humility and a servant spirit. And those two things are very, very important. We live a life of humility because we recognize that Christ is Lord. He is the boss of our life, and we are his servant. And then we esteem others as better than ourselves. We put ourselves last on the list, and we love people before ourselves. The thing is, when you put yourself first when it comes to sexual relationships, you're thinking more about the pleasure than about the consequences and about the person that you're sinning against and all the repercussions that's going to have in the future on not only your life but the person that you sin with. So you got to humble yourself, and you got to be a servant, and you got to esteem others as better than yourself. So in a nutshell, that's what biblical abstinence is all about. Back to you, Deacon Farr.
Amen, sir. And you know, you're right. That's one of the things, because containing our sexual desire and keeping it under control when we're not married, I agree with you. It's again, we want to hold men of God accountable. That's why we're here, Issue Christian Men, so we're talking to Christian men. And some of us have to understand that we are servants of Christ. He's our Lord. He's our Savior. And his word sets up is the pattern for our life, is the blueprint for our lives. And if he calls us to do and live a certain way, then again, the indwelling power within us is what we have to surrender unto, and that humility. And I like what you said, because if we see the ramifications that we want to put, because, you know, the sex outside of marriage is basically whoever does it, male or female. It sometimes you can think of it as a selfish act, because you're looking to please ourselves or what we're getting out of it, the pleasure, the whatever. And we're not considering the other person. So we have lost our whole purpose to love one another. And I think that, you know, when we talk about abstinence, it's something we have to be on purpose about. And again, I also want to say that it's about teaching. It's about the teaching of the Word of God for understanding, that these things are being taught, and you have to teach and disciple people and help them through it. Because I come from a different perspective, where if we are going to outreach to the world and evangelize, and we bring people into the body of Christ and salvation, but then we have to help them live that thing out. And one of it is, like you said, repenting. And now, what's going to keep you? It's not, you know, me trying to just behave and follow rules, but it's me being submitting unto what the Word of God says as I'm being taught it through that process of sanctification. And this is one of the things, again, if we go to a scripture and we go to what God says about sexual immorality and fornication and adultery, and then these are the things that which we're working to move towards the pleasing of God. And I think I won't say it's that simple, but I agree with what you were saying. I did want to say that, because we talk about men of God who are confessed to be Christians and the struggles they have. So we want to encourage them. There's a way out of the struggle. Is to submit unto that the Spirit of God that's living within you, and continue to and put yourself in positions and in places and have people who hold you accountable to your lifestyle, not just your 2 hours on Sunday or your weekly Bible study or whatever it is. Because this Christian walk in our lives is a 24/7, 365, for the rest of our life from the day we've given our life in faith to Christ. Now, we are called to be His all the time, not just when we're around our Christian friends or around our church members or around our pastor. Amen?
Amen.
So this is why it's important. So, go ahead.
Yeah, Deacon, one thing that we need to not make the mistake of doing is to command a young man not to do something without giving him something else in its place. If you look in the book of Ephesians, Paul spends the first three chapters letting us know our position in Christ. And then in chapters 4-6, he lets us know our practice, how to live out who we are in Christ. And in chapter 4, he tells us to stop doing certain things. Like, for example, he tells us not to be tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine. But then he says, but speak the truth in love. We're supposed to grow up in every way into him who is the head, even Christ. Later on, he says, let them who stole steal no more, but to give. He also says, put off your old self, but then be renewed in the spirit of your mind and put on the new self. So we're not just commanded to stop doing things, but we're commanded to start doing things. And so when it comes to a young man who's going to have all this energy, we just can't tell him to stop sinning sexually. We got to give him something to do. And I learned this back when I was 19, 20 years old, brand new Christian, wanting to please God. And I wanted a wife as well. But I remember that I constantly struggled with purity issues and all of that until I began to immerse myself in ministry. I began to go to church faithfully. And when they saw me show up, this young man showing up, then they began to give me some responsibility. So I began to sing on the choir. I began to help with the Boy Scouts. I began to, they even made, I don't know why they did, but they made me the superintendent of Sunday school at 20 years old of this large church in the city. And I didn't know anything about Sunday school, but they thought enough about me to put me in charge of that. So it kept me busy. And before I knew it, I looked up and I saw my future wife in front of me. And so I would encourage young men not just to abstain from sexual immorality, but to pour yourself into Christian ministry. Get involved in the church. Make yourself so busy that you go to bed tired. You just drop into the bed tired because you have immersed yourself so much in the Christian ministry, serving the Lord, doing the work of Christ, whatever that is, so that you just get tired, not tired in a bad way, but physically exhausted from doing the ministry. And I would encourage you to do that, not just to stop sinning, but start serving. Start living righteously. Pour yourself into the service of the Lord. What do you think about that, Deacon Farr?
Amen. So, you know, you're correct. And even in, you know, even in worldly and school and abstinent programs, they basically say the same thing. We have to, if we want them to abstain from something, we have to give them something else in their lives. Because, again, if your life, if that's all you have and you have nothing else going on, you have no ambition, no goals and desires. You know, you're not discovering life. You're not enjoying life. And some folk fall into the trap of sexuality early because of that. They want to have friends. They want to be around people. They want people to like them. Some of that is part of it. And so, and then we're all human, not necessarily the young people, because I don't like piling on young men, but even older men who are not married. So that's one of the things, too, when we talk about in men's ministry and speaking into men's lives. Look, older men, if you're not married, you should not be having sex. You should not be sleeping around. You should come to a place where, like Pastor was saying, to be able to fill those voids in another way. And, you know, everyone matures at different levels. We understand that. But as men of God, as professed Christians, there's ways we could fill our time where we're not, that's all we're thinking about. Because, again, when we talk about salvation, we're talking about a renewed mind. You could have been a womanizer. You could have had, you could have been running the streets every night, every weekend, fine. But when you come to Christ, you have a renewed mind. And let that mind that's in him be in you. And your mind will start to change. You'll see it differently. Again, which we must surrender unto that Holy Spirit within us. We have the Word of God. We have people inside. We have people around us in the church, mature men who hopefully that you are in true fellowship with that can help you work through this thing. Because, again, if this is what you're struggling with and you don't tell anyone, or this is a struggle with and you can't go to your pastor, your elder, your deacon, your men's leader and say, this is some of the things I'm struggling with. How can I help? How can you help me? Some of that is the Holy Spirit allowing the church body to help us sustain it. Because it's not only sexual, it's in all things in our life. This is what your church is about, to help encourage and edify us each and help bring us to a place of sanctification where God is using us and changing our lives. So just in this thing, I agree with what you were saying. You have to learn to fill. You're going to have to be able to fill the empty places in your life with other things so that you can focus off. You know what I mean? So when we talk about cultivating yourself in the Word and the power of the Holy Spirit and again, having those people around you and having a heart to serve others, to be able to, do things in ministry, open yourself up. I tell brothers all the time, everybody, there's something for everyone to do in the body of Christ. But like you said, when you shared, it's about being faithful. And if you're faithful, God will open doors for you and opportunities. Amen? You're listening to Issues Christian Men's Talk. I'm Deacon Thomas Hall. We're here with Pastor Chuck Brooks, and we're talking about sexual purity, abstinence, celibacy, safe sex. And hopefully we can touch on something and encourage a brother, encourage someone out there, encourage someone in their men's group, and they'll talk to their pastor or someone in their life to help them. If this is a struggle for you, because again, God created sex and he created it good, but he created for marriage. Anything outside of marriage is truly a sin. And so we're going to talk a little bit about that because, we have a lot of churches who say a lot of things are sin, which are not necessarily sin. It's just they want, we're trying to teach people to behave right and, just don't do this and don't do that. But that's not what it's about. It's about those things because I believe in the Bible tells us to flee fornication. Scripture tells us to flee it. It's going to be there. You're going to be tempted, but flee it. And we're saying that the church and the body of Christ, there's a place for you to go. When those things, when those feelings, when those that energy rises up in you, you have to have a plan to combat it because the enemy is trying to pull you off course. He's trying to bring something into your life that you never know what the ramifications could be of it. So this is what we're talking about tonight, sexual purity. Well, Pastor, let me ask you this. Let's talk about, I want to go to celibacy, because when we talk about celibacy in the church, everybody's first idea goes to the Catholic priest. But I'm going to let that go right now because I don't want to get into the Catholicism and the priesthood. I'm going to leave that alone right now for another show. But when we talk about celibacy, because I believe Paul mentions about, it's a gift. And I had these in front of me, but he speaks about celibacy as a gift that not everyone can bear. But again, if we look around, there are people, age or for whatever reason, they choose celibacy because they can focus more on ministry or for whatever reason. What do you say to that, sir?
Yeah, I think that a celibate lifestyle has its place, but it's definitely not for everyone. And as you said earlier, you need to have a gift for it. There has to be a way that God supernaturally gives you a desire to serve him over and above everything, sexual relations, marriage. And so Paul deals with that in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, and obviously someone had asked him a question, and he spends time in 1 Corinthians answering several questions, but the one in chapter 7 is about, you know, is it good for a man not to touch a woman? And so there was a lot of sexual sin in the Corinthian church, and so someone asked that question, is it good for a man not to touch a woman, not to be in a relationship, have relations with a woman? And so Paul answers, and his answer is yes, but it's also no. And he answers yes because the scripture teaches that celibacy is okay. But he also answers no because it's just as clear that marriage was okay. Marriage is honorable. And so if you study the life of Paul, you know that he was single. He may have been married at one time or another, but at the time when he served as an apostle, he was single. And he tells us in this chapter that marriage becomes a distraction for anyone who wants to serve the Lord with all his heart and his mind, his soul, his strength, and not have the distraction of caring, in the case of a husband, caring for a wife, or in the case of a wife, pleasing her husband. And I know, even as a Christian minister, as a pastor for over 2 decades, that having a wife and a family is a distraction. And I don't mean that in a negative way. I mean that I can't devote all of my time to ministry. I have to provide for the needs of my wife and my children. In fact, the scripture says if anyone doesn't provide for the needs of his own, he's denied the faith, and he's worse than an infidel, an unbeliever. So as a husband, I have to take care of my wife and my children, and it takes time to do that, and it takes time away from the ministry. So Paul says that celibacy is good, but if you're trying to live the celibate life and you can't contain your passion, if you can't hold your passions in check, then Paul also says that it's better to marry than to burn. And so that's how Paul deals with it, and I've kind of abbreviated all that. You really need to read the entire chapter to go through that to see what God's word teaches on this subject. But celibacy is good if you can restrain yourself in a positive way. God helps you to do that. But marriage is also good. Back to you, Deacon Farr.
Amen, Pastor. Amen. Amen. You're right. That was 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Again, we encourage you, brothers, go in deep into the Word and study what he's saying about it. Because there is, even in our life, put it this way, because even we look back on our lives, there were periods of we were not always, I'll say this, we're not always in a relationship, we always didn't have a sex partner or someone we was with. There was times when we you know, for whatever reason, we just abstained from sex and we were celibate for a reason in a season. But what Paul is saying here, you can't, it's not something that you can't, unless you have the gift and that God has called you specifically to do something where he was saying, that to live without a family, to have a wife, a spouse, let me say that, a spouse, where we're responsible to please and to care for one another sexually. Then celibacy is a gift that can be given. And then there's folk who do it voluntarily. And that's the thing I think what Paul talks about there. If we voluntarily and God gives you the gift because of a specific call or purpose God has in your life, then it won't be a struggle, it won't be a burden, it won't be a battle. Let me say it like that. You won't be tempted by certain things because of you have the gift of celibacy. That's the way I've understood it and read it before. That pastor had told me. If anything that God has given you is not a struggle for you living out, and I think celibacy is one of those things. And then celibacy could be for a season also. Even if you're single now, and again, you abstain, you're celibate, you're working in ministry until God puts it into your heart and your spirit that you're looking for a spouse, that you're looking now for someone to be a companion to. Then, you know, God can move your heart again. Again, it's having the mind of Christ and the heart and in obedience to the Holy Spirit on how he's leading your life and directing your life. That's the best thing I can put it like that. That's why we have to be in a place. We have to be among the brethren. We have to be in a place in ourselves where we're growing and understanding and living in the Word and living obedient to the Word. And when we have challenges, that we seek out those around us. We surround ourselves with a circle of strong, Christian, righteous, living folk who's going to help us to go through the process or go through this season of life when we talk about celibacy. You know, celibacy is one thing and abstinence is another. So we want to make sure that I did state that, because they mean different things. Tend to loop the grouping all together, but they mean different things. Because even when I wanted to step back into celibacy real quick and get your thoughts on this, Pastor Chuck. When we talk about in the school systems, in the culture, that a lot of times when they talk about celibacy training for these teens in high school, that it's mocked and it says, you know, it's better to teach the kids sexual education, the how-tos and all this other thing, and we finding out that's not necessarily true, but that doesn't help. What they quote, they want to quote us and tell us that if you educate young people, they're less likely to engage or less likely to get pregnant. So that opens up a whole other can of worms. And when we talk about abstinence, what abstinence teaching the young people can actually do and accomplish, but it seems like in the culture, it's mocked that it's not really going to work because the culture already assumes everybody wanna, and everybody just waiting for the opportunity. What do you say to that, sir?
Yeah, the scripture teaches that there are things that are better than sex. And like you said, the world just assumes that, hey, you know, we're sexual creatures and we're going to do it anyway, so we might as well, you know, make it safe and, you know, pleasurable or whatever. But when you read the Word of God, we know that we're tripartite beings. We're spirit, soul, and body. And we connect with each other relationally, spiritually first, and then emotionally, and then the last way that we would connect, if it's God's will, is physically. But there, the Bible teaches that there are some things that are better than sex. One thing that's better than sex is a good name. A good name is better than sex. I can think of some women now, and I hope no one's listening, and I'm not going to mention any names, but I remember when I was young, there were some women that were in the neighborhood that had a bad name. Some girls that had a bad name. And even to this day, when I think of those girls, they may have been totally changed, saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Spirit, but I can't help but relating their name to the person that they were known, or the behavior that they were known to practice back when I was a teenager. But the Bible teaches us that a good name is to be preferred. It's better than sex. And not only good name is better than sex, but a fruitful ministry is better than sex. A healthy marriage is better than sex. I mean, there are a lot of different things that are better than sex. A clear conscience is better than sex. Having a clear conscience, not having something from your past or maybe some behavior that you're practicing today that irk at you and pull at you and make you feel guilty, and then Satan comes and uses that because you don't have a clear conscience. But having a clear conscience is better than sex. So the Bible teaches there are a lot of things that are better than sex. A healthy body is better than sex. We have people that got involved sexually early on, and they have all kinds of diseases that are impacting their lives even today. There are women out there that cannot have children because some venereal disease, some sexually transmitted disease that they got while they were sexually active as a teen, and now they can't have any children. So a healthy body is better than sex. And I think we need to start with what the Bible teaches and not just to make assumptions that, well, just because, you know, we're sexual creatures that, well, we need to be taught how to do it right or safely. That's the world's perspective, and that's the world's solution. But the Bible has a better answer. What do you think about that, Deacon Farr?
You know, sir, I agree. And I think what it is, too, we have to get to the mindset of parents. We have to get to the mindset of even parents in dealing with it. And again, in church leadership, what are we really teaching our youth? You know, because it's one thing I learned with youth ministry, that youth are, they're exposed to a lot. They watch, they see everything that's going on, and they're evaluating it, and they're listening. And they're looking for, you know, they see hypocrisy. Let's say that way, because we all, you know, it's hard. I understand when you talked about this earlier about men pastors and leaders dealing with folk where they are and the struggles they're going through. But again, if we continue to preach the standard against. Because we can't, I don't know. I'm gonna say it right now. I don't know how the answers are, how you deal with it. But you have to be able to stay on the biblical path for generations, no matter what they see around them, no matter what they see in their families. Because I think those are the biggest struggles when we're talking about sexual activities and some hypocrisy and that. Because if you know, they see things happen to their friends, to their fellow church members, to a lot of folk. And then you did again, I go back to when we do evangelism, we bring folk in who lived full lives doing what they wanted to do, the choices they wanted to make. And now we bring them into the church and they see the same things going on. You know, it taints out what you were saying about a good name. Are we, you know, putting the name of Christ underfoot again? Are we crucifying him again? Because now what we profess to be, but now we're doing the same thing that the culture does, and we're having the same results. I mean, that goes all the way from unwed motherhood to you know, having children out of wedlock, to divorce rates, to all of it. So that's where, again, when we talk about men's ministry and ministering to men and ministering in these topics, is what are we instilling in folk? And all we tell the folk is showing the people the Word of God and letting the Word of God begin to work on their souls, their hearts, and their decision-making process as they walk this thing out. I think that's one of the things. But if, again, if we advocate and scapegoat over the issues and don't address them head-on, and then people have no, they'll feel no condemnation. I know that's a word we don't like to use a lot, but, you know, some of it we have to I don't know. What do you say, sir? I think it's something, if I told you something and we're taught something and we show you the Word of God, you confess to be a Christian. Now, what are you going to choose? Or if you're never taught and it's never discussed, are you more vulnerable to figure it's all okay? What do you say to that, sir?
I think that, you know, people are going to make choices. And, you know, it's like someone said to me years ago that, you know, I'm just a mailman. Don't get on my case because you don't like the message. And so we're messengers, we're ambassadors for Christ. And so, you know, we're offering reconciliation to God through his son, Jesus Christ. And we have to pray and be there for people, be willing to walk with them and to mentor and to disciple. But ultimately, people, whether young or old, they're going to be making their own decisions. But we just have to be long-suffering. And then we have to live in such a way that we exemplify what we're teaching. And God's going to take care of the rest. I grieve when I see people that I've tried to pour my life into and the Word of God into years ago, and you know, 20 years later they're out on the street corners and selling drugs, or maybe they're not even alive anymore. I've preached funerals of young men, and it grieves me. But the church, particularly men in the church, we have to be faithful and to be examples to the flock and to teach the Word of God, to live it out in front of these young men, because someone said it's better caught than taught. I think we need to teach and pray that the young men catch it, and older men as well. But we can't do any more than that. I think a lot of our expectations really lie in God's love and his faithfulness to people. We just have to do what he commands us to do with respect to the word of God. Amen?
Amen, sir. You know, I agree that we will stay faithful, and that's what we do here at Issues Christian Men's Talk. We want to stay faithful. We want to be watchmen on the wall. We want to continue to cry. We want to continue to spread the message. But we also, in our calling out, we still want to know that, yes, you can repent today. You know, you can come to God. You can repent. You can start again. And God is faithful. If we repent, if we desire to live right for him, if we desire to study his word, if we seek those people in our lives, I mean, the whole thing we talk about here in men ministry is to be involved in a group of men that will keep us, you know, that will help us, open ourselves up, be a little transparent, and get outside of ourselves as men. We have a lot of pride. We have a lot of stuff we hide behind masks. And we struggle. We struggle in silence, and we struggle with a lot of things. But the Word of God in the church is the place where I believe a lot of those things can be healed, can be directed, can be taught. You know, we talk about being taught, but we have to be on point, and we have to be in fellowship, because we have to be able to, you know, let people know this is that God can. God has done it before. God can do it again. And God is still here for you, even in your mistakes, as you're walking this thing out. So it's like you said at the beginning, if we profess to be, because I thank you for that, because that reminds me that we always have to say, we only the Word of God and us as men of God, as the pastors, your pastor, your elder, the folk in your church, we're only trying to, first, we want to witness to you. We want to bring you into the faith, and then once you confess to be a Christian, a follower of Christ, a disciple of Christ, now we're here, we come together, and then we hold each other accountable. We're here to encourage each other. We're not here to condone. We're here to help you through the struggle, because a lot of us, no matter how you see us, have been through some struggles and go through some things. But we can be examples for each other on how to go through, how to overcome, how not to give up, not to lose our faith in God, and let our faith grow. And watch what God does. God will start to do some things to help us with our sexual purity. Again, if you was a womanizer, if you was a whoremonger, whatever you were, pornography, or any of those things that can taint and distort God's purpose for sex, God can also bring you out of it and purify you and renew your mind. You'll see it differently. But you have to be in a place where you're going to be obedient to his word, obedient to the teaching. And then, again, you have those around you who hold you accountable for what you're struggling with. So what we're saying here tonight on Christian Men's Talk with Pastor Chuck and Deacon Farr is that these things, this topic of sexuality, with so much that's going on in the world is trying to redefine what manhood is and what womanhood is, and marriage and all these things, all come back to the trick of the enemy, trying to go after the church, trying to go after the family. Remember, God started with Adam and Eve and family first, but even before ministry, before he gave a call, it's family. And if the enemy can destroy families by trying to redefine it, by trying to make everything okay and acceptable, all things that apparently used to be sin are apparently not sin anymore, it's a lifestyle choice. But it's still sin, because the word of God has not changed, because it's socially acceptable, culturally acceptable. Still, for us as people of God, as men and women of God, it's still not acceptable, and it's not acceptable when we're out ministering for those. Again, when we go out to reach and preach and teach and evangelize, we have to have the mindset of what Paul and Peter did. They went, they told about Christ, they told about what Christ has done, they told about the love of God. And even Paul, if we look at Paul's letters, he had to go back and correct some of the stuff that was going on in those churches. So all the letters Paul wrote, when he was writing back to a church that he planted, he had to correct them. And then we have to be in a place where we're correcting folk also. And we have to not get weary in what we're called to do, because we never know when that person is going to, that change is going to stick. And then that person can be a disciple and be able to use by God to reach someone else. Amen? You're listening to It's Your Christian Miss Talk. I'm Deacon Thomas over here, Pastor Chuck Brooks. And we were sharing tonight about sexual purity, biblical abstinence, celibacy. There's one thing I did want to talk about, Pastor, but I think we're going to do it in our next segment, the next time we get together, because I wanted to talk about adultery in marriages. And one of the things, we're going to take a few minutes. I'll let you can give the people a little taste of what you're thinking. But about I'm going to talk about men right now, but it comes to both spouses, that they start to get involved with emotionally and psychologically involved with other people besides their spouse, and they become confidants in their relationship. It borders on adultery, not physical, but emotional. What do you say about that and the dangers of that, sir?
Well, I guess an emotional adultery can lead to physical adultery. I don't know exactly what emotional adultery is, but if you're visualizing it, or, you know, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. It's adultery. You can lust, and that's adultery. The scripture teaches that. So adultery is adultery. Physical adultery is just when you're working out what you were thinking. But if you're wrestling with emotional adultery, non-physical adultery, or even physical adultery, there are some things that you need to do. Number one, if you're a Christian, you need to repent. You need to repent. If you're not a Christian, you need to get saved. But there are also some other things, and I don't want to oversimplify it, and we don't have a lot of time. But I'll just give you the bullet list, and we could talk about it, as Deacon Farr says, next time. You need to lower your expectations, because sometimes the reason why you begin to flirt with images and thoughts of other women is because your wife isn't meeting your needs, whatever your needs are. But sometimes our needs are too high. We're expecting too much from our wives. Number two, you need to be willing to forgive your wife. If she hasn't lived up to your expectations, if she's sinned against you, then you need to forgive her. And then three, you need to abstain from things that would tempt you to sin, like magazines, TVs, movies, internet, pornography, even video games. Number four, avoid the flirtatious woman, that woman on the job, that woman in the TV series that you're watching. Avoid the flirtatious woman. And Proverbs 6 and 7 talks a lot about that. And then flee. The last point, flee immorality. Sometimes you just need to run. Just get away from it. Run. That might mean moving. That might mean changing jobs. But flee immorality. Back to you, Deacon Farr.
Amen, Pastor. Amen. Thank you for that. That's just enough hook, enough bait to get them to come back next time. Amen. Well, Pastor, again, I appreciate you taking time out of your schedule and being part of the program tonight. We're definitely gonna make a plan. We're gonna put it out there. We're gonna come back and do another part of this and continue on and talk about some other things. You're listening to Issues Christian Men's Talk. I'm Deacon Thomas Fall here with Pastor Chuck Brooks, and we'd like to thank you for joining us. Again, we're here every Monday at 8 p.m., every Thursday at 8:30 p.m. You can reach us on Issues Christian Men's Talk on Facebook, on Twitter at Issues Men's Talk on Twitter. You can follow us there on Twitter. We post our daily devotionals, encouraging words, upcoming men's events in this local D.C. area, and some national events that are coming up real soon. And you can reach out there to us. Pastor, could you close us out in prayer? And again, I thank you for taking time out to join me tonight.
Amen. It's a pleasure, Deacon Farr. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for the opportunity to share your word. And Father, we pray for those listening, that your word of God would just meet needs, Lord. It would bring conviction and convince people of their need for Christ. And the instruction would help men to get saved and to become godly men, godly husbands, godly fathers. We pray these things to your glory and honor. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, sir, and God bless.
God bless.